Good morning. Welcome to worship at First Presbyterian. We're delighted you're here, and you'll be glad to know you get double credit because this Sunday and next, Labor Day, are notoriously slim in terms of attendance. So you're well fixed. We welcome those who are watching from home. We invite you to look on the church website. You can find a bulletin so that you can follow along the flow of worship. Well, we are delighted that you're joining us. We are turning now to announcements found in the bulletin, and you will see there calls to two congregational meetings, one to select the officer nominating committee and to get your suggestions about who might effectively serve. And you see there the others that are printed. I now call on Sarah McCown and friends to come forward and to make a presentation.
Good morning.
Morning.
Here's your trivia for the day. There are 1,150 verses in the Bible that reference music, both through singing and instruments. There are at least 185 songs in the Bible. That indicates to me that music was important as far back as Genesis. And music, both vocal and instrumental, has always played a significant role in worship at First Presbyterian Church. Over the years, our congregation has had the privilege to experience the remarkable talent of some gifted musicians. That tradition will continue as Adam Burnett returns next Sunday. But today, we want to recognize James Hoskins, Kristen, and Chance Passmore for their willingness to step in and to share their gifts with us so that the music could continue to be an integral part of worship. Here is a token of our appreciation. Your selflessness, creativity, and leadership have been a blessing to the choir and the congregation weekly and a reflection of God's love for his people. We thank you, and we hope you will continue to join with all our voices as we are filled with praise, that we may sing thy glory and honor all the day long.
Very well deserved. Thank you all so much. And now, Jean and Leanna have a presentation to make.
Good morning. How many of us, I include myself in it, have started off with a New Year's resolution determined to read through the whole Bible in a year? And we eagerly start with Genesis, and we get through that, and then we wade through Exodus, and get through that, and then by the time you get to Leviticus, you set the Bible down, and it just gets dusty for the rest of the year. Well, we have the plan for you. Starting on September 11th, we are beginning a series during the Sunday School Hour, The Essential 100, and it is a plan to read through the Bible in a year's time, starting with Old Testament. The readings are short and doable, and they are intended to connect all of Scripture together as God's big story. We will start on the 11th with the actual first lesson and the first reading, but we are having next Sunday, which is Labor Day weekend, we are having a preview and a question and answer to answer all of your questions about how this process works. It is not intimidating. Anybody can do it. And it will give you not only an overview of Scripture, but it will develop, we hope, a new spiritual discipline where you enjoy and look forward to reading the Bible. So we encourage you to come next Sunday upstairs in Hollis Hall at 9:15, and then, of course, on the September 11th for the first lesson. You will enjoy it, I promise. Leanna Guanillo and Hannah.
Good morning. Hannah, are you excited for Sunday school to start?
Yes.
When is Sunday school going to start for kids?
2 weeks.
That's right. September 11th also is when Children's Sunday School is going to start. This year we're going to have two classes. We're going to have one for pre-kindergarten up through second grade, so that's Haynes through Hannah, and anybody in between. And then we also will have a class for third grade through sixth grade, so that's Lucy O'Gwen all the way through Sienna. And everybody in between there. So what that means is we need a few more volunteers, especially for this younger group. We have jobs for teachers. We have lots of jobs for just assistants. And really that just means we need a second person in the room, an adult. Godly Play will be the curriculum for our younger set. Alice and I are already signed up to be teachers, and Laura Goines. If you have any questions, if you're worried about it but curious, Alice and I would be happy to talk to you about how that will go. We'll do some training as we get started. And then if you are interested in volunteering, you already know that. Let Jean Strain know, let Laura Goines know. We would love to have you, but we need you. So.
Please be our teacher.
Need to be made. Then let us share the peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Greet your neighbor. Thank you.
Please stand for the call to worship. From Psalm 124 and 118. Our help is in the name of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And let us pray. God of light and truth, you are beyond our grasp or conceiving. Before the brightness of your presence, the angels veil their faces. With lowly reverence and adoring love, we acclaim your glory and sing your praise. For you have shown us your truth and love in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Remember that our Lord Jesus can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with boldness approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor, praying first in silence. And together we pray. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Children, please come forward. Haynes, how about if you and Hannah sit up on the top step today? That's great. I have here the Dalton High School annual from umpteen years ago. This is called a yearbook. It's a book that's put out by school when you're a little older. And it has pictures of lots of people in here. As a matter of fact, let me ask Ms. Scott if she will raise her hand back there. She was voted the best all round. That's a picture of her, and she's not changed a bit, has she? You would recognize her immediately. Anyway, this is pictures of all the students when we were in school, students doing different things. I could show you mine, but at the time I had a flat top and my ears protruded. I'll show you anyway. Swallow my pride. That was me. 1,000 years ago. Now, the point is that your students, and what I really wanted to show you was not so much the students, but I want to show you the teachers. Look, these are people who taught us. Now, they seemed very old at the time, though they're probably younger than I am now. Some taught math, and some taught English. Some taught alphabet, the ABCs. They taught lots of different things. And the point I want to make is, I didn't appreciate them as much then as I do now looking back. We are looking for an occasional teacher for children, and it will be important when somebody comes to teach you, like Mickey or somebody who will be in your class, that you always say thank you and be nice, because these people set us on the path to being grown-ups. And your teachers will matter to you more than you realize now. And of course, this message is to you. When we put out an appeal for teachers, think back about those people who impacted you. Maybe they were Sunday school teachers, but maybe they taught you history in class and taught a love of history to you that has endured for a lifetime. You know who those people are, who you remember. Think about the opportunity to help teach young people and to imprint the love of God in the ways that only you can do. Students like you and teachers, that's what keeps society going, and that makes for the church of tomorrow. You too will grow up one day to be leaders just like these folks are. And when you do, you'll want to thank the people who taught you the way. Let's have our prayer together. You know how we do this? We put our hands together. I say a few words and you join with me. Dear God, thank you for teachers, who showed us the way to be better people. And thank you for students who learn about you and then make the world better. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well done. Well done.
The world is already better.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the
remain seated as we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture. Let us pray in song as we sing hymn number 458. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 119. Listen for God's word. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Be gracious to me according to your word. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, from your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, be gracious to me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
the choir gives new meaning to the phrase, hard act to follow. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. These words were inscribed over the door of the high school when I attended. Had a noble ring to it, summed up what school was about, or should have been. Science, language, history, math, social studies, government, health, and my favorite, PE and driver's ed. I picture those halls and the men and women who graced them, the Denman brothers, Mr. Leach, the coaches, Coach Anderson, Coach Chappell, who was not much older than we were, Charlie Bowen, the principal, and Ms. Henderson, and Miss Janice Meadows, who was a Presbyterian and who, it was said, taught American history from personal experience. These were the subjects and the people who combined, so the slogan went, to set us free. They attempted to help us to understand the world and how it worked. They talked to us about plants and animals and about people. The subjects were geography and geometry and astronomy and, for some, chemistry. And the idea was that in a cumulative way, they would help us to make better decisions in life, be wise consumers, discover our own interests and abilities. They would equip us as citizens and employees. They would help us be more critical in reading the news. They wanted to make us free and therefore ready to make our way in the world. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What about the word and? Obviously, something comes before these words inscribed above the door. If you look at your scripture reading while I read, we will answer the question. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in my Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you hear from the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus is with believers, and that sounds promising, but right away they challenge him. We are descendants of Abraham, and we've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean when you say we will be made free? Well, in saying this, they obviously neglect history. They were slaves in Egypt, and the Babylonian exile helped to define who they were, and now, even now, they are under Roman occupation. So they are surely God's people, chosen, we know that. But they're living in this kind of national myth of their own righteousness and neglecting their responsibilities. In fact, they are so angry about this challenge to the fact that they have a place in the world, that they are looking for an opportunity to kill Jesus because what he was speaking was counter to the national narrative. They were angry because they were self-interested. Kill? Why? Jesus says, because there's no place in you for my word. These are good people. In our own day, they would be people you'd see at the Oakwood or wave to at the ball game or chat with in a downtown store, like us in some ways, bound by tradition, subject to bias, tied to group affiliation, subject to peer pressure or public extremes. Maybe they lacked exposure to diversity, as sometimes we do. In fact, since this is a campaign season, consider Jesus as a campaigner for the kingdom of God. Folks really like the signs and wonders, but his message seemed to ask a little too much. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Really? His campaign advisors would come to him and say, you know, this stuff about blessed are the poor in spirit, the meek, the merciful, pure in heart, that's not really going so well as a platform. Show them more about the water into wine trick. Yeah, let's have a little more Cabernet and a little less charity. Already somebody in the crowd has taken out a marker and made a sign which says, we have Abraham as our father. There's a neat story. A grandmother and child have showed up at the airport. They have a ticket in coach, but she asked whether she could upgrade and is told at the desk, I'm sorry, there's not room up front for you. So she nicely takes her seat in the back. Well, when they're about ready to close the door, the flight attendant notices them and says, would you and your grandchild like to come up to first class? There's room now. We have two seats. So they take their seats, and then momentarily they hear a scuffle of some kind behind the curtain, and a man and woman push aside the curtain and make their way up there and say quite boldly, I'm sorry, you're in our seats. Well, the flight attendant is right behind him. I'm sorry you were so late. We've given your seat to somebody else. You'll need to come in the back. There's plenty of... No, we paid for these seats. Do you know who I am? He dares to say. And the flight attendant has no idea, but the grandmother says, I think I know you. I don't think so, he says. Yes, we met at a company gathering in Boston. You work for the company, he says? Well, not exactly. Then your husband works for the company? Not exactly. He is the chairman of the board. We'll take our seats in the back. You enjoy your flight. Jesus counters their claim of Abraham as father by saying, I come straight from the chairman of the board, as it were. Now, the good thing is we can laugh smugly at that story because we like all the things that come from it, the humility, kindness, justice in the end. So that makes us true disciples, right? If you continue in my word, the scripture says, you are truly my disciples. Continuing in the word, what does that mean to us? Well, the class we're about to initiate on the 11th is a good chance. It starts with reading. We'd read at home and then we'd come together and talk about what we've learned. Thinking, perhaps even writing might be part of that. Discussion. Now, discussion is important. We can read on our own, but discussion opens our eyes. I was in a meeting with ministers. It was right before Christmas when the person assigned the devotional began to read the story of Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem. I kind of tuned off and thought of something else. And then the person who was reading said there was no room for them in the inn. The person who was reading was black, and he heard no room for them in a way that had skipped my attention all those years. He opened my eyes. And on another occasion, somebody was talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I had used Gethsemane for as long as I had read in the Bible, and suddenly he said, Gethsemane, of course, in the original language means the olive press. And suddenly that picture of Jesus sweating drops of blood had new meaning, the pressure being so great that in that place he, like those olives, was giving up his very life. Being part of discussion is different. I remember the Hickses, M and Zach. They were conservative. She would always say, "Now, you know, I'm of the old school." Maybe I've told you this story, that when Jean and I were being interviewed for this job, we sat at a round table, Jean next to the wife of this couple. And when the server was coming to take wine orders, this woman reached over to Jean's glass, turned it upside down, and said, "Of course she won't have a drink. She is our pastor's wife." Didn't know Jean, obviously. Being old school and in poor health, they had to move into Decatur, and they got an apartment, and they discovered that the people who lived upstairs were gay, two men, and she was upset at first, and months passed, and it was those two men who came down and did their grocery shopping and brought them meals, and she said, "They are such lovely people," because we continue in the Word, and we experience life, and we learn from science all those lessons that help us read Scripture differently. And that is what it means to be a Presbyterian, part of the Reformed tradition. We reform because, in the light of new knowledge and old wisdom, we learn. We become better people, more attuned to what is going on. A man wrote me a letter. He said, "Almost 10 years ago, I did some work at your house when you did renovation." He said, "Somehow you paid me in advance so that I could buy materials. And when the job was over and the smoke cleared, I realized I had been overpaid by $1,000, but I was new in the work and I excused it because of all the weather interference. And now, 10 years later, I have 5 children and I'm a member of a church. And I can't live with that anymore. Here's my check for $1,000 with my apology, and if it's not enough, you let me know." It was the word that called him back to his best self. I returned the money because, like he, I have been forgiven so many times. And we must be careful when we consult the Word, because sometimes it can be used for the wrong purposes. We can quote things to suit our situation and not from the big picture. John Calvin, the father of Presbyterians, taught us to be reformed and always being reformed, and that means being in God's Word. How will that happen for us? I hope you'll join the class, but certainly get a handout so you can read at home and build in accountability. Have a partner in this, somebody who'll keep you honest. Maybe have a time and place, because that's often helpful if you have a chair in your house where you always do this and the Bible remains right there. Or in this age of technology, you can use the radio or some recording device. Find a way, your way, to continue in the Word. To be a true disciple, we must. It'll be work. I don't want to kid you. It'll take some effort on your part. But in the end, it will be worth it. Because, as Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Word of God. In a moment, we'll stand and sing together. This hymn, in those years after the Civil War, was used by freed slaves and poor Appalachians as they hoed the ground and made a living. It is about the Word of God, which sustains us in every circumstance. Let us stand as we sing together. Thank you. standing, let us affirm together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. God of the written word to us and the living word in Jesus, we pray for renewal, that our nation may renew its ways of justice and peace, that you would guide those who make and administer our laws so that we build a society based on trust and mutual respect, erase prejudices that oppress us, free us from crime and violence, and guard our youth against the perils of drugs and materialism. Give us all as citizens a new vision of life lived in harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Strengthen this congregation in its work and worship. Fill our hearts with your self-giving love, that our voices may speak your praise and our lives may confront and conform to the image of your Son. Nourish us with your word and sacraments, that we may faithfully minister in your name and witness to your love and grace for all the world. Lord, in your mercy, and by your healing touch, God, minister to those who are dear to us, to Lucy and the O'Gwen family, to little Cecilia Ann and her dear parents, to Mary Dover and Coy and Noel, to Curtis and Stan and all the Crawfords, to Greg and Kristen, to those dear to them and to those known to us and named now in the silence of our hearts. And hear us, Lord, as we pray now the prayer which Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We return now a portion of all that God has given to us for the continuing work of his kingdom.
I thought peace like a river.
give you thanks, O God, for all good things, for the growing life around us and the Spirit within us, and the Word given to us that we too may grow in every way more like Jesus Christ. We give thanks in His name. Amen. Continue in my word, he said. You are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you continue in my word, you can't have a better charge for today. And a benediction, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.